Today I'm continuing a four-week message series entitled, What is a Christian? We want to answer that question, what is a Christian? Each week during this message series, as always, we will use the Bible to discover our answer. Many persons, including Christians, provide their own personal opinion to the answer to this question, what is a Christian? Yet it seems as though their answers are providing more questions. According to a nationwide survey conducted by the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life, when it comes down to it, many Americans like the mix and match, build your own approach to religion. Here are the findings. 34% of evangelical Christians named at least one non-Christian faith that could lead to salvation. 22% of all Christians, according to this poll, believe in reincarnation. 57% of evangelical Christians said they believe that many religions can lead to eternal life. Alan Cooperman, who is the associate director for the research at the Pew Forum, said this, "It is now the norm, as it is the exception, for Christians to blend multiple religious beliefs and practices." So apparently, according to these studies and according to American culture, when it comes to religion, many Americans like the mix and match, build your own approach. I have a message video illustration today titled, Have It Your Way. It is a reflection of our culture, of how people have come to view spirituality as something that can be ordered according to what they want.
Scott Thuma, a sociologist at the Hartford Institute of Religious Research, said this, "The Build Your Own Religion findings show that culture and pop culture and the internet are probably more powerful teachers than Sunday school teachers." Michael Lindsay, a Rice University sociologist of religion, said, "The way we personalize our iPhones, we also personalize our religious lives." So, with all of this going on, the question is, what is a Christian? To put it bluntly, the answer cannot be found in human opinion. The answer must be found in God's Word. Let's find out what God says today. And what His Word says in regard to this question, what is a Christian? For you see, the Bible is the only authoritative source that can give us both the accurate and valid answer to that question. So here's the answer to the question today. What is a Christian? A person who believes that Jesus is the only way. That is what a Christian is. Now, the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. America is saying one thing, but what is God saying? Because that's what really matters. Point number one, no other way but Jesus. No other way but Jesus. The Bible says, nor is there salvation in any other. This statement right here declares that there are not many ways to salvation. A different way of salvation does not exist for people who live in different geographical areas of our planet. According to the Bible, whether a person lives in a thatched hut in the interior of Africa, or whether that person lives in a very expensive townhouse in Central Park in New York City, that person must be saved the very same way. Now, it's not a very popular subject these days to say that Jesus is the only way to heaven. A person who adheres to this doctrine of belief is called intolerant. Michael Lindsay had this to say. He said the survey, this Pew Research survey, here it is right here, in America, Indeed, 3,000 miles wide and only 3 inches deep. There's a growing pluralistic impulse toward tolerance, and that is having theological consequences. You know, he is absolutely right. Our answer to the question, what is a Christian, is more being shaped by culture and by the pressures of our culture than it is being shaped by God and the Word of God itself. But the question I want to ask is this: what is intolerance about believing Jesus is the only way to heaven? Those of us who would adopt or agree with this doctrinal position certainly would respectfully disagree with those who call us intolerant. We're not intolerant. We believe that it's a God-given right of every human being to determine his or her own beliefs. If indeed we are intolerant, then so is Jesus. Because listen to what he had to say in John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Listen to this. Jesus is the way. Without him, there is no going. Jesus is the truth. Without him, there is no knowing. Jesus is the life. Without him, there is no growth. Jesus is, according to God and his word, the only one and only way to heaven. F.F. Bruce, who was a famous scholar in the Christian community, wrote this. He, Jesus, is in fact the only way by which men and women may come to the Father. There is no other way. If this seems offensively exclusive, let it be borne in mind that the one who makes this claim is the incarnate Word, Jesus, the revealer of the Father. He goes on to say, if God has no avenue of communication with mankind apart from his Word, mankind has no avenue of approach to God apart from the same Word, who became flesh and dwelt among us in order to supply such an avenue of approach. You see, the Bible says that there is no other way but Jesus. What of do? There's no other name but Jesus. Here we go. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What's he talking about here? No other name. Not Mary. Not Joseph. Not John the Baptist, not any saint, not Confucius, not Buddha, not Muhammad, not the name Baptist, Methodist, or Catholic, Lutheran, no other pope, no other way, no other name. The only name by which we may be saved is the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You can order whatever you want to on the menu of religiosity. But God says there's only one way. Now, why is it that there is all of this commotion and all of this confusion in regard to Jesus being the only way? Why is it that everybody seems to think that they can just take a little bit of this from the menu and a little bit of this and a little bit of this and a little bit of this? I'll tell you what it is. It is the result of situation ethics, or it is the result of moral relativism. You see, situation ethics and moral relativism say that right and wrong is based upon your circumstance. And what might be right for you might be wrong for me, but what might be wrong for me will be right for you. Examples. A person who believes in moral relativism says, well, if you're poor and you don't have enough money to buy groceries, it's all right for you to steal because you're in need. But the Bible says, you shall not steal. Or if a person is dissatisfied and bored in their relationship, and the person decides that he or she's going to have a relationship with someone else, a fling, so to speak. They have the fling for a while, then he comes back to his past. He says that that's all right because That helped bring satisfaction to his life, and that's what matters the most. Whereas the Bible says, you shall not commit adultery. You see, the modern mindset believes in absolute truth. We believe that the Bible is absolutely true. We believe that in the Ten Commandments as absolute truth. We believe there's an absolute right and an absolute wrong for all of humanity. It's all on level ground. But the person who is a moral relativist does not believe in absolute truth. They believe that you can just determine for yourself, in your own circumstances, what is right, what is wrong, what you should do, what you shouldn't do, and nobody else has the right to interfere with your life and tell you how to live your life. That has crept into believing and belief system. People now decide that, well, I'm going to decide for myself if I like this, a little bit of Buddhism, a little bit of Taoism, and a little bit of Christianity here, and a little bit of Islam here, and just like the people going through the drive-thru, it's kind of a build-your-own approach to spirituality. But guess what God's Word says? In John chapter 20, verse 31, right up there in your Word. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. I like what Adrian Rogers said. Adrian Rogers said this. He said, salvation is not a creed. You're not saved by the plan of salvation. You are saved by the man of salvation. It's not the call, a cause or a church. It's Jesus. We have so much religious mayhem in the world today because people have met creeds, but they haven't met Jesus. They have entered the codes of living, but not Christ. Salvation is not believing something, it is receiving someone. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, verse 23. And this is the commandment that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, many people ask this question. How do you know that Jesus is the only way? I mean, after all, other religions say that they're the only way. Who is right? Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you have ever thought or have ever heard someone say, how can we know that Christianity is the only way because other religions say they're the other only way also? Hold up your hand if you've ever heard that statement. I've got the answer for you. I've got the answer the next time that's asked. It's simple. Here's the answer. Muhammad is dead, Buddha is dead, Confucius is dead, and all world religious leaders who founded a religion are dead. But Jesus is alive. Case is closed. By the way, anyway, Christianity is not a religion. Never has been and never will be. Religion is man-made. It is man with the made in the image of God, with this consciousness that there's something beyond life itself. So they try to implement and improvise a system by which man and women can get to God. A religious system that they can construct so we can get from here to here. Christianity does none of that. That's the reason Christianity is not a religion. A religion is what you construct, what you build up from ground up. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Christianity is not built from ground up. It is built from heaven down. God said, you can't get to me. So God said, I'm going to come to you. And He sent Jesus into this world so that through Him, we might have life and a way to get to heaven. You see, Christianity is not about a religion. It's about a relationship. Now, God's Word says that Jesus is the only Savior. Here is the proof that Jesus is the only Savior. Letter A. Christ alone was born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14, Matthew 1:18-25, and Luke 1:26-38. You see, only as the Holy Spirit takes the place of the human Father in Jesus' conception can it be true that the one conceived is both fully God and fully man. Jesus must be fully God and fully man to atone for sin. No one else in the history of this planet has been conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of a virgin mother. Letter B. Christ alone is God in the flesh. There was a famous Christian in the 11th century. His name was Anselm. And this is what he said. Our Savior must be fully man in order to take the place of sinners and die in their place. And he must be fully God in order for the value of his sacrificial payment to satisfy the demands of our infinitely holy God. Letter C. Christ alone lived a sinless life. In the Old Testament sacrificial system, each animal was required to be perfect without blemish. This prefigured the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, who, as one who had never sinned, was able to die for the sins of others and not for himself. He is the only person who ever lived on this planet that never sinned. Letter D. Christ alone died a substitutionary death on the cross. You see, because Jesus never sinned, he did not deserve to die. But God placed our sins on Jesus on the cross. He died for us. He died for our sins. He died in our place. Christ died for us. Letter E. Christ alone arose from the dead triumphant over sin. You see, the resurrection of Jesus validated everything that he did, especially his death on Calvary's cross. It proved that he was God in the flesh. It also proved that every word that he ever uttered was true, including these words where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, how do we know that this is true? How do we know that all of this is true? I've got the answer. It's in the Bible. It's called life change. You see, there were two Christians, Peter and John, in the previous chapter. We're in chapter 4 of Acts. In chapter 3, there were two guys by the name of Peter and John who were very spiritual people, and these guys were going to the temple to pray. Well, stationed at the entrance of that temple was a man who was a beggar. He had been paralyzed since he was a little boy. He couldn't move. So what was his daily routine? They would bring him to the temple, lay him down, and he'd sit there and he'd beg all day long. These religious people would come back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and very sad. Their religion never helped him. But then one day, Peter and John came to the temple. They were going to pray. And guess what? The guy looked at them and asked for a handout. This account is found in Acts chapter 3. Peter looked at this guy that was begging, and this is what he said. He said, "I don't have any money, but there's one thing that I do have." And he said, "In the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And guess what happened? Peter took the beggar by the hands and pulled him up. According to the Bible, immediately his feet and his bones were strengthened. And I don't know about you, but I love reading that story, and I love reading the account of that man. The Bible says this man who was completely cured, completely healed, instantaneously, he leaped up and stood and walked and entered into the temple with them, and he was walking, and he was leaping, and he was praising God. Wouldn't you have loved to have been a fly on the wall of that temple that day? To see this unfolding miracle, here was a guy who had been begging all of his life. Now he was more active than a kid that had eaten a keg of sugar. I'm telling you, the Bible says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. Can you imagine the reaction of these religious people? They'd been coming to this temple all of their lives also. This guy was a permanent fixture there. Back and forth they went. You see, their religion didn't change that man's life. These religious people had no impact on that man's life. Still the same beggar. But Jesus did something in his life. Jesus changed his life. Why? Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What is a Christian? Well, last week we discovered that a Christian is a person whose life has been changed. And today, we have discovered that a Christian is a person who believes that Jesus is the only way. So, a changed life and believes Jesus is the only way. So, I want to ask one more question. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian?